Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm your host today, Lauren Berry.
It got ugly a few times in this deeply divided country. Perhaps no surprise there were visible displays of that divide here in the hall, most especially when the president discussed his ongoing push to remove undocumented immigrants and his new war on fraud, pronouncements that sparked fury among especially liberal Democrats.
That was CBS News White House correspondent Ed O'Keefe reporting on President Donald Trump's Tuesday State of the Union address. It was the longest State of the Union in history, coming in at nearly 2 hours. In it, the president railed on Democrats, gave honors to a number of people, and touted achievements.
Our country is winning again. In fact, we're winning so much that we really don't know what to do about it.
So, how did it go over with the public? Todd Bell, professor and director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University, joined WWL's Tommy Tucker in New Orleans to discuss.
Well, certainly Donald Trump thinks everything is fine. He has really talked about how great everything is in the country. I mean, we knew that he sort of had his back to the wall on three key issues, and those were the economy, which isn't still working for people. There were some good numbers in January, but last year it was still pretty bad, and people have been worried that he has not been focused laser-like on the economy going around the world and dealing with different wars and peace issues instead of focusing here at home. So he needed to do something about that. And instead, he just told everybody everything was great. And, you know, that's, you run into the problem of who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes, with when you take a message like that. And people get kind of resentful. So I'm not sure he won people over on that.
You're talking about the economy now, right?
I'm talking about the economy. Yeah. And on immigration, he that's, you know, another one of his signature issues. And in the recent polls, people are saying they don't trust him to do a good job on it based upon the way it's been handling. I mean, 71% of Americans want stricter borders and more enforcement, but it's the way that it's been done, you know, and the things that have been happening in Minneapolis, which, of course, he didn't address. He just doubled down on immigrants causing crime here in the United States. And he brought up a lot of people who've been victims of crimes caused by immigrants in order to, you know, show that that's still a problem. So I don't think he really moderated at all. But, you know, you don't expect that from Donald Trump. He doubles down instead of moderating. And the last one is tariffs. He had a really bad day in the Supreme Court last Friday, and he was very upset about that. And he says the tariffs are coming through no matter what. I don't need Congress to do anything about it. I'm going to use the national security and the unfair practices aspects of the trade laws in order to do it. So not a lot coming out in terms of policy. He did promise up to $1,000 in backfilling of 401ks for people, although he didn't say how he would do that. That would obviously have to come out of Congress. And not a lot of policy proposals, which is what we usually get from a State of the Union address. And of course, it was incredibly divisive. I've never seen a more divisive State of the Union than this one. And he really excoriated the Democrats.
We kept saying they were crazy, right?
He said they were crazy and sick and that they cheat. And, you know, he did get his one sort of camera moment there, I think, that we'll see probably played in the midterm elections coming up to it when he asked them, stand up if you think that the job of a representative is to stand up for the rights of citizens first ahead of illegal immigrants. And of course, the Democrats didn't want to play into his little stunt there. And now they have some pretty good messaging and camera footage for the midterm elections that can cast the Democrats as being soft on immigration.
Talk about, if you will, Todd, the use of television and the State of the Union address, how it's morphed throughout the years, because President Trump knows television. And as far as a TV production, you know, forget fact checking, forget this, forget that. But on the sheer merits of TV production, it was a pretty good produced TV event, was it not?
Absolutely. I mean, if this there's been two presidents who really have a real eye for the dramatic aspect of television. And those are, you know, the two people who've been involved in entertainment, Reagan and Trump. They both have a really good eye for that. Traditionally, the State of the Union wasn't always a dramatic TV event. Obviously, we didn't have TV. But it was First of all, the Constitution says that the president shall from time to time address the Congress as to the state of the nation. And Washington did that in person. It wasn't until Jefferson that he just started writing a letter. And then all the presidents from Jefferson on started writing letters until Woodrow Wilson did the in-person one. And we didn't get a televised one until Truman, when TV started coming about. And then it was always a laundry list of what the president wanted out of Congress. It was an address to, this is the state of our nation. And they always say the state of the nation is strong. And they say, we have more work to do, and here's what we need to do together, members of Congress. And it's usually pretty unifying because the president usually knows they need some votes from the opposite party in order to enact their agenda. And it's become more and more partisan over the years.
Political tensions were so high going into the State of the Union that several Democratic lawmakers, including Senator Adam Schiff of California, boycotted the address. Here's political insider Phil Mateer explaining the situation on KCBS Radio in the Bay Area before the address.
Phil, what do you think is behind this boycott?
Well, it's pretty obvious. I mean, it's the feelings about Donald Trump. It's as simple as that. Adam Schiff was one of the leaders in the efforts to impeach Donald Trump during his first term in office. And he hasn't forgotten that. He's remembered Donald Trump sticking the Justice Department to investigate him, Adam Schiff as well. So there's no love lost there. And there are a number of Democrats that are just opting not to show up. Others are going to be coming in with victims of the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. Then they will be displaying themselves over the president's handling of that situation. And we're going to see, you know, possibly people all dressed in white too, various statements being made on the Democratic side, and none of it's happy.
Overall, Professor David Schultz, a distinguished university professor of political science and legal studies at Hamline University, told Vanita Sakar of WCCO News Talk that the event was political theater that's unlikely to have much of an impact on the upcoming midterm elections.
It was theater. It was theater in the sense of basically we had lots of things in terms of being done for the 2026 election in terms of, no surprise, partisanship. But the theater, whether it's asking the Democrats to stand up, the shouting match between Representative Omar and Trump, or awarding of medals to a variety of different individuals, it was really political theater for, what, nearly 2 hours or over 2 hours, whatever like that. So that would be the word that I would describe it. And then the second thing is to say, did it change anybody's minds? I don't think so. I mean, the Democrats didn't like it. His base loved it. And there's no indication so far overnight that it moved any of the independent voters toward where they already are right now.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. This idea of political theater. It, no matter what people think of the substance of what he had to say, it was fascinating to see the State of the Union speech taken to a different level as far as presentation, especially near the end when medals were being literally handed out in the seats for different people. You've seen presidents in the past point and have someone stand up. But I thought it was fascinating what they did, bringing in the Olympic hockey team, doing all of that through the course of that speech. Do you think that might draw in some people, just that presentation part of it?
Well, potentially, yes, but think about it. That all occurred in the second half. And most presidents try to keep their speech to under an hour because realistically, most people aren't going to pay attention beyond about an hour. Actually, many people stopped zoning out after about a half hour. And so by the time it got to a lot of the real theatrics, I suspect that a lot of people had already turned off their television sets or radio, however they were listening at that point, and missed a lot of that. So he would have been smarter if he wanted to do that kind of theater to have put it in the early part of the presentation. And so, again, I suspect that a lot of people just missed a lot of that. And his first hour was really probably the part that most people caught and didn't see a lot of the, let's say, the theatrics, the awards, the medals being handed out.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Maybe front-loading it a little bit more. What did you think of the Democrats who decided to boycott it, including Senator Tina Smith? It really set a visual when you looked at that entire area and you saw that Republicans were able to dominate with their applause and standing.
Yeah, I mean, basically what we've seen here, starting with Bill Clinton, you know, literally over 30 years ago, we've seen the State of the Union speech really, you know, fall apart at this point. That it used to be more dignified, it used to be much more bipartisan, but in the same way that we become more polarized, we're starting to see same thing happen now in terms of the State of the Union speech. It's much more partisan, it's much more blaming, it's much more that what different sides are boycotting or engaging in different aspects of theatrics also too. So to a large extent, them not showing up gave the Republicans, you know, more opportunities to applaud and so forth like that. But I also suspect, and I'll be curious to see the ratings. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw lots of people who identified as Democrats probably also didn't watch the speech too. So we're really seeing a transformation in how the State of the Union speech is consumed and so forth. And I would throw in also too, given the fact that we know that younger people are not watching television or not consuming broadcast TV or radio in the way that older generations did, I would just also be curious what the ratings are for this. My suspicion is it's going to be one-sided and it's going to have a clear age and partisan demographic to it.
Thank you so much for listening to the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, WWL Radio in New Orleans, and KCBS Radio in the Bay Area. You can listen to and subscribe to On Deadline on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.